Well, Shabbat Shalom. We're going to continue with our Israel review today, as we've been doing, but I think it's also good while we're doing this to have another little compact bit of meat. So I think today I had, you know, kind of on my mind and thinking about them and started thinking about, gosh, why is there so much trouble in marriage these days? I mean, you know, many in the world don't acknowledge God as a part of their marriage. They don't have any perception of what is going on. And in many ways, they've entered into marriage the wrong way. And really setting themselves up for failure because they're not understanding what the purpose of it is. They're not entering into it properly, trying to see what they can get out of it rather than what they can put in it. But there's still many others that have the knowledge of God, that have these same issues. And even statistically, when we look at marriages, in the professing Christians and non-professing Christians, the rate of divorce, sadly, is almost the same. And it's sad. Well, why is that? So I just wanted to take a minute this morning before we get started on this other and talk about a little bit about what God's purpose is for marriage. Now, obviously, this could be a series of sermons, but just enough here to make us kind of stop and think a little bit. Why did God make man, male and female? I mean, we see the diversity of the way in which God can create. I mean, he's pretty amazing in the things that he can do. He could have made us be able to reproduce in a number of ways, but he made us male and female. And even given that we do have this different anatomy for reproduction, that's one thing. But then he didn't just make us different in that anatomy, he made us different. The male and the female are different. Why? What's the purpose for that? And I believe that the purpose for that goes straight to the very heart of the overall purpose of what we are doing on this earth, why we are here, and what God is accomplishing through this thing we call physical life. So let's set the foundation. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, you've read this before. It says that, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness," God said. He said, "Let him have the rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. And that's what I want you to note here, is that he made male and female in his image. See, both of them are in God's image. Both of them. And this is a vital thing to think about. And this is something that you've got to meditate on a little bit and really wrap your head around it. Why? Because while the male and the female are different, would anybody dispute that fact? I mean, male and female, we're different. But it says right here that both of them are in the image of God. Both of them. So how does that impact our perception and our perspective in marriage? Well, understanding that the qualities and the differences that other person is exhibiting isn't weird. It isn't strange. It doesn't need fixing, but rather they're exhibiting qualities of the image of God. You know, that's something that that we have to understand on the other side is images and qualities of God that we don't have, right? And so that can make a profound effect on how we view those differences, how we perceive those differences, and how we engage those differences. In Genesis 2, it says that a man will leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One flesh. We're to become one with that other person. See, we are adding those different qualities that are the image of God that He gave to that other person, to that other individual, to combine with ours to make one complete reflection of God's image. See, both of them have God's image. And because they're different, means that it takes both of them to fully reflect God's image. It takes both a man and a woman in oneness to reflect the full image of God. When we criticize our spouse, or we foster any sort of division or competition between the two, we are actually reflecting the disunity that Satan created within the kingdom, that God is trying to teach us not to do. So flipping that around, see, when we recognize that our purpose, God says that we are to reflect the image of God, and when we realize that that is our purpose, then we become convicted by the Holy Spirit when we don't meet that standard. And then we are protected from the hardening of our hearts towards one another. We have to recognize the different qualities of the image of God that He has placed in that other person. And let's back up just a little bit, okay, and get a little bit of perspective. Before God created man, He had created a lot of other beings. You know, the Bible reveals them as angels. And those angels had a relationship with God, didn't they? God had created them. He served them by giving them everything that they needed. They, in turn, served back into the kingdom. And there was this oneness of purpose. He had created different angels for different things. And there was harmony in His kingdom. But we had one archangel named Lucifer that was a covering cherub. He was created the sum total of all wisdom and beauty, and his wings actually covered the very throne of God. And he got to the point where he decided that his wants, his desires, were more important than God's, were more important than the rest of the kingdoms. He wanted power. And so this oneness that was in the kingdom was broken by pride. It was broken by selfishness. And there then became division within the kingdom. And I submit to you that in creating man the way that He has done it, male and female, giving part of His image to one and part of His image to the other, to bring them together and say to them, become one. That exercise has spiritual implications that just, it gives me a chill just now. Why? Because it trains us to look outside of ourselves for completeness. It trains us against selfishness. It trains us against pride that we can do it all ourselves. We can't. We're incomplete in that sense. It trains us against all the things that God is trying to avoid, is avoiding in this new chapter of the creative process. It trains us against all the things that caused Satan to fall. It is the purpose behind this life. It is the purpose that it is that training, that coming together and relinquishing the selfishness and the pride that has to happen for two people to walk completely together. It solves the problem that caused this rift in the first place. And I will say that it is why Satan hates marriage so much, and why he attacks it so much, and why it is in the shape that it is in. Because ultimately, doing this thing we call marriage and getting this training that we call marriage creates someone that has a future and a destiny that is far beyond what Lucifer could ever have attained to. And that's why he hates it. That's why he hates marriage. That's why he hates the family. And that is where the battle is. See, we aren't called just to be a covering cherub over the throne, over the family of God. We are called to become part of the family of God. And God exists in oneness. The Father and the Son are one in that oneness. And he's teaching us through marriage to do that same thing, to become one with another person. And if we can get a hold of that, if we can understand our marriages in that light, and understand that that's its purpose, to teach us how to become one, then we realize that it's training us for something far above what we just want in this life, and how we want our, you know, household to run and car to drive and on how to spend the money and all these different things that in the ultimate reality of what is happening there is much bigger than that. It's training us to become one with God. We're learning the skills and gaining the spiritual muscle to do that which we are ultimately called to do. Our ultimate future, to be part of his family. And that's the perception, that's the goal, that's the purpose in marriage. And if when we have that, we gain a whole new perspective on how to navigate that relationship. Selfishness then wanes, doesn't it? You can't hold tight to selfishness when the goal is godly oneness, right? And we're to continue that process. It says that we are to be fruitful and increase in number. See, it is that relationship, it is that that environment, if you will, that we're to have children in. So that is then passed on to them, we teach them the same. He wants us to reproduce children in his likeness. Couples who are competitive, who are angry or divided, are not able to fully nurture children in the way that would lead them to God's image. In order to teach children the principles of agape love, of godly discipline, of good morals, it's got to be modeled by the parents. Words aren't enough. The parents have to put aside their innate selfishness and just trust God to meet their needs. See, petty disagreements then can fade in comparison to their love for their children and for the goal, for the ultimate purpose of oneness with God. And that's our goal and our destiny. This verse also says that we're to fill the earth and subdue it. So when we talk about subduing the earth, in other words, we're to reign over it. We're to have power over it. And we've talked a lot in the past, haven't we, about spiritual warfare. We're to engage in spiritual warfare. We've talked about that at length. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So, in practicality, our struggle is not against our spouse, but it's against Satan, who wants us to believe that's the problem. That if the spouse just changes. Well, no. The spouse has images, an image of God's character. Right? We must learn to keep our eyes on the goal, to keep our eyes on Christ, on His purpose for this life, on His eternal intent for our lives, and not on people, I guess. The other person in your life has qualities that reflect the image of God that you don't have. And we mustn't fight against that. We're to become one with it. I have come to see over the years in my marriage and my personal failings in that endeavor and the context of our successes, that everything that is taught in the Word of God, whether it be all the different lessons we can learn from Israel, from the prophets, the wisdom we get from the Psalms and the Proverbs, the teachings of Christ and His disciples, all of it, there really isn't anything there, any of those lessons that don't apply in marriage. When we talk about our walk with God, when we talk about implementing and repenting and changing and all of these things that we talk about, marriage is a microcosm, foundational, core place where everything that we are taught is exercised there in spades. There is no other place more applicable for all of that than in marriage. It starts there. This is where we learn how to apply all of those things. And when we apply them, we see our marriages strengthen. They grow. That oneness becomes a reality. And then that, those lessons, that power, that strength that we get from that, then can go out. And we're able to use those same principles and that same power, that same strength that we've gained within the marriage out with other people. But God intended. He said, I made you male and female. I made you different. Now become one. Why? Because He wants oneness. He wants us to learn that. Because that's what it's going to take for us to be in His kingdom. We will be one with Him. It is a family that God is creating. There is no place for selfishness in marriage. It is the exact total opposite of the oneness that God intends for marriage to teach us. And it is the very training ground for the kingdom oneness that is our calling and our destiny. And so when you think of marriage that way, when you put it in that context and really think about it and really let that sink in and put it in the context that goes beyond this life, this realm, and put it in the context of everything that is going on, it changes your whole perception. It changes how you come at marriage. It changes how you behave within it. It changes everything. And that is what God wants for us. Amen. Amen.